Yeah, still, you know, I'm not going to actually tell people. I mean, you know, I could see that that could happen to me. And I would be rejected like Esau. Because I, God's grace, if God's grace was on me, he would never let that happen. He would fill my heart with faith and with desire and good things. Because that's what God does. You ask him for bread and he gives you bread. He didn't give you rocks. He doesn't give you serpents. If you're his son, if you're called according to his purpose, the others get nothing. Was that harsh? Yeah, sure. But remember, he owes none of us anything. Even our existence is completely gratuitous. We are not come to the mountain that might be touched. There was a mountain once where God descended in fire, the place where Moses received the Ten Commandments, and you couldn't touch the thing. But you could touch it, right? You weren't allowed to touch it. But you technically could have. I mean, you want to go see? As he says, the commandment says, if anything touches the mountain, it will die. There was blackness and darkness and tempest and swirling smoke. There was God within all that darkness and swirling darkness and smoke. You know, God hides himself in darkness. I remember learning that. That was something I learned from someone else that was very, it spoke to me deeply because it's true. But God is light. True enough. But he hides in darkness. Where is he? You can't see him. Right? And where are all, and look at all the teachers and churches and philosophies and atheism and all this in the world, all this swirling darkness and ignorance and swirling and swirling. And where is God? They can't find him. They can't know him. It's hidden. He hides himself. He hides wisdom. He hides himself. People don't understand God. Why, God? Why? And then they try to make sense of it and it doesn't make any sense. Because you have to come in. Like Moses did, you have to pierce through the smoke and go into where God is dwelling. You can't see him from outside. There was a mountain. It burned with fire. There was blackness and tempest and swirling smoke. And then the sound of the trumpet. You know, and then the voice of words. There was words coming forth. I mean, you know, what kind of words? But just words and voices, and the people stood back and they saw this spectacle, and they don't want to go anywhere near that. Moses, you go up. You talk to God. We'll stay back here. And if anyone touched it, there was a commandment that they could not endure. And if a beast comes, anything, it would be stoned, thrust with a dart. So terrible was the sight. And Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come to Mount Zion. Not Mount Sinai. Not Mount, you know, not the mountain that burned with fire in Arabia. But to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Not to the earthly Zion even, but the city of God, the one that is in heaven, the one that is, you know, God is going to come and he's going to return to Zion. It is a heavenly city coming down from God, an innumerable company of angels. We're coming to something else. We can't touch it. But we can get much closer than they ever could. A city, something that is ready to receive us, something that is graciously being given to us and brought to us, not to terrify us, but to welcome us to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. We are co-heirs with Christ. That means we are treated as firstborn sons collectively. Which are written in heaven. Rejoice not that the devils are subject to you, but that your names are written in heaven. Because there will be many come to him on that day, saying, have we not cast out devils in your name? And he will say, I do not know you. devil's casting out is no sign of salvation. It is the works which are done. Not of those kind of works. It's the works of God that he does in you to turn you from your sins so that he cannot say, you worker of iniquity, because you are not a worker of iniquity. You work his works, and you've been working his works, and he knows you. We come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. And the just man made perfect. In a sense, there's not a just man that walks upon the earth. But by Christ's power, we become just. Justified and just in our behavior. And we become perfect. And, you know, Jesus was made perfect through sufferings. So it is not likely that I can be made perfect without suffering either. So you could be just without being perfect. You could be righteous without being perfect. We've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh of better things than of Abel. Abel spoke things. Your brother's blood cries to me from the ground of his murder and the unrighteous slaying and his brother's jealousy. But Christ's blood, though born of the same sort of violence, speaks better things. Because Abel was justified by his obedience and the sacrifices he made an offering for himself and died, and it made a good report of him. But Christ needed no offerings for his sins and instead offered himself for the sins of others. Verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now hath he promised, saying, yet once more I shake not earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. And those things which cannot be shaken, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God, acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So we need to watch, be careful, not to refuse him that speaks. The one that's speaking is him that speaks from heaven. We are not come to a mountain